There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order, a new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okie dokie. I am in the house. This is Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. I think today is Friday the 13th. I don't buy into the pagan belief, so I'm not worried about it. Yesterday I was feeling more unlucky anyway. I had Friday the B. Yeah, one and three make a B, the Lou in his head. But we are doing well today. Just taking it easy, relaxing. We're in air conditioning. We fought a battle to get on the air today. We lost internet for several hours, so this we're very thankful that we're on. Welcome to everybody that's listening. It's a small audience, probably because we weren't on yesterday, although there were about 15 people who listened to the replay yesterday. I don't know how many people on Liberty Tree Radio decided to listen, but that was it was good. It was still a good show, and I don't know if it was a repeat of a repeat or on Liberty Tree Radio or what, but thank you for joining me now. I see DeLu is in there. Do I have to click on you to make you something? Right click on you and then make and then ban you.
Yeah, no, make off.
Oh, you want me to ban you?
No, make off.
Okay, I'm making you an operator, so not that we ever have to do it, but if anybody gets unruly, Lou can kick them out, but I don't think we've ever done that. That one kid, that Dutch Jones sucks guy. Remember him?
He was like 10.
Yeah, he was like 10 years old and we had to kick him out. Boy, so we are back and we're glad to be up. Like I said, we were down for a while, but there had to be a major purchase today of about a, what was it, an $80 router?
It was $99.
$99, and it was on sale for how much?
$70.
$70. We're on a brand new router that has like doubled our speed. We're not up at the retreat. We're not up at the safe house, as it were. We're not in the cave, but it's nice to know that we have a good router down here now in our secondary location. It seems to be going good. I was watching movies and stuff to test it, and it's just flowing. So good job, Lou, getting us back up. You had to install software. First, we were on the phone with the dweeb from Comcast, and you know, and to find out that it wasn't their fault. I'm turning the mic up here. I'm using about an 8-foot mic cord. Actually, it's probably longer than that. It's probably about a 12-foot mic cord, so I can walk around the room if I have to. Yes, upgrades are always good, and I think they allow us to do a little more. I'd be doing the camera, but there's really no benefit to it. I'm not going to be showing you anything, but I think we could do the camera now without it slowing anything down. Let me make sure we didn't. Yeah, it's disabled. But that's what we've been doing today. We've got some things we're going to talk about, some articles. I'm going to tell you about a website that I've been using. I finally figured out how to translate it into English to make it easier to use. It's actually a Mexican blogger who claims to be neutral on the whole narco-terrorism rebellion going on down there, and he prints some really good stuff. And put some good pictures up. The pictures that I've sent out to you guys that are kind of gory and stuff, that's good. Chuck Baldwin put out a pretty good pre-sermon announcement that he's going to be talking about secession, the argument for secession when the tyranny in Washington, D.C. gets out of hand, that secession is a legal and moral obligation of ours to take. So it's things are heating up. People are starting to stand up. People are starting to take the lead. I am not too surprised. I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad it's happening, you know, on a national level. I continue to get weird mail, though, for people saying that I shouldn't be talking about the things I'm talking about. I'm risking too much. I'm going to infuriate the New World Order. They don't like it when I combine Christianity with the Holy Cause of Liberty, which is kind of funny to me. So we're going to talk a little bit today about the pastors of the American Revolution. I've got just a few of them that I'm going to talk about and what they did and who they were, because they don't teach us anymore. They don't teach the foundational stuff. Then I've got some emails that have been asking me specifically to go over the, the basics, how to start a militia, you know, and we've been kind of doing that, but I think we'll do some more on that. How to organize, how to train, those types of things. I can do some of that off the top of my head. Warland's saying that he posted an article that mentions the straw man bond. I can't, it's, with my eyes the way they are, I can't read it anymore online. Let's see. Yeah, if you could post that on the forum, people could get it. Oh, and where's the forum? So, Warland, post that in the forum, and then people can reference it. I can't read anymore what's in the chat room that's that small. I can read the stuff in white. I don't know if I can make these bigger. Let's see if I can right-click and see if I can change it. No, it won't let me change the font size. Put that in the forum. The forum is on dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. And you go to the forum and you can publish stuff like that on there. And I think it's good to post it, or post it, not publish it. But that way people can see it and you can share it with them. I love it when people share stuff. That's the keystone of this whole effort, to share information, righteous information, and relay information to one another. I'm trying to think. There was something else that was leading me into when you did that. The forum. Oh, the shipping stuff. People, if you get our stuff, let us know. There have been problems with people not receiving things we're sending out, so we want to know when you get it. A couple people got mad at me last week because it took forever to mail out some things that they purchased. Thank you for your understanding. The stuff has been shipped. Please pay us. If you don't pay us, we're going to be even more in the in the hole, because the way we're working is hand to mouth. When we order stuff and it gets drop shipped, or we order stuff and it gets shipped to us, because of the total numbers of the minimum numbers of what we have to order, it does do a lag. So allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. And I'm sorry if some people can't wait that long. I know that Sully got our stuff. Thank you. And we got your donation. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate that. You can make donations on the website also through the PayPal pitch-in. Very important. Very important that people continue to donate. One good thing, as we move to the new location, our power bill is about half. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because it's a more modern building. I wouldn't say modern, but it was built. It's not as old as the first place, so there may be some electrical issues. The stucco. What about the stucco, Lou?
It doesn't
require as much electricity in a stucco building as a wooden building, I guess. But it's great that our power bill was less than $40 instead of over $100. That's going to help a lot. But we still have the $17 a month for you broadcast. We still have other costs and stuff that we get for us. You know, I'd love to be able to send some more money. And as soon as we get paid for the stuff that went out, we're going to send some more money over to Liberty Tree Radio to help out their cause. We're in this together. We're like the cords of a rope. You know, we're all wrapped together and we're all part of the same, pulling in the same direction. And the more we support each other, the better it's going to be. So thank you again, and your continued prayers. I get people that say, look, I don't have any money. I'm completely broke. I need to continue to pray for you, and that's all I can do. That is awesome. I'm not asking for a lot. If everybody just gives $1 or $2 that listens to this show, we would be set. What are you doing, Anthea? You look like you're going to attack me. You want the water? Oh, Anthea's here with us. It was a nice surprise. Here's the water, baby. Yeah, you can go get something as long as it doesn't have caffeine in it. I don't want you bouncing off the walls. So, you give me a kiss? Yeah, I love you too, baby.
Hey, everyone.
That's Anthea right there. We got her yesterday, and we'll have her until Sunday. So, praise the Lord. We get to have a little bit of an impact on her life. Let's see. The other stuff that's been going on. We got the training coming up on the, what is it, the 22nd, 23rd, Lou? Or 21st, 22nd? Lou's got to check. I don't have a calendar in front of me that's on the proper day. In fact, this calendar behind me is 2008. What's up with that? It's a 2008 calendar on the wall.
Donate
it to the Salvation Army. In a couple hundred years, it'll be good again. Right? Actually, 7 years or whatever it is. But we got training coming up, and if you want to get involved in that, please email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. Because you need to let us know you're coming. You're invited, but we want to know you're coming. And we can make arrangements for you there. And then I need to tell you what kind of things you need to bring. And we've had a couple people just show up. That doesn't happen very often, but if you just show up, it's a little awkward for you and for us. You got to be there for Saturday and Sunday. I think is a good thing. If you can only be there for Sunday, you got to be there at 10 a.m. It is the 21st and 22nd of August. 21st, 22nd of August. Now that is our meeting in the playground. Our meeting. That's caffeine. You have to get Sprite. That's Coke.
Oh, but how's caffeine-free one right
now? I don't know if there's any caffeine-free out there. Is there root beer?
Yeah.
If you can have a root beer. So got to keep the kids off the caffeine. Just another one of those things. I shouldn't even be having it. But, yeah, our meeting in the park, our meeting in the playground, meeting in the playground, meeting in the playground, 21st, 22nd.
Bring your bean sandwich.
Yeah, bring your bean sandwich, Lou says. Just you know, bring stuff for lunch and dinner, breakfast, you know, whatever, for 2 days. We're just going to do some training, some basic survival training, but you'll get to know us, we'll get to know you, and we can continue on this path together. And do good things for the Lord, but we got to get to know each other first. Let's see here. Let me go to my stuff that I did want to talk about. One of the things that really I don't know. Do you guys want to discuss topics first? I guess I'll go to current events in the news. Let's see here. Hey, Rundown. Thank you, Rundown. It's a great username, Rundown. Let me go back here. Come on. Boy, this is way faster. I really like this. Here we go. Immigrant chief. We're going to get this right. Now, those of you who know, the head of ICE, and I can't find his name. I think his name was Moron or something. I got to go here. Monroe, Moron. Oh, yeah, there is root beer. See? Caffeine-free right there. It says caffeine-free. Let me open this for you. Now, this is an interesting thing because the head of ICE, and let me find his name here. I think it's Moron. Is it Moron? Morton. It's John Morton. Sounds like Moron. The federal government has deported more illegal immigrants from the U.S. than ever before, he says. Now, he went down to the border in Arizona, and it was a total photo op. The sheriffs, his own employees, said that it was a complete scam, that it was just a photo opportunity. He got a no-confidence vote from his own employees. I love it. This guy's an idiot. He's, you know, hand-picked federal stooge. But he went down. He went down there, and he's doing this press conference, saying, "Hey, we're deporting more than ever before. Believe nothing they tell you. They lie about how much they spend. They lie about how much they do, how much work they do, how effective it is. Everything is a lie." Now he said that Thursday as part of an effort to push back on the suggestions what Washington isn't doing enough. It's not just suggestions; it's facts. For those who doubt the federal government's resolve in the enforcement of immigration law. Let me say this. We are committed to strong, effective immigration enforcement, and the facts speak for themselves, says John Morton. I can't not say Moron. He said the agency removed a record 380,000 illegal immigrants from the U.S. last fiscal year, and about a third of them were convicted criminals. So far this fiscal year, ICE removed 136,000 illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals, also a record, Morton said. Okay, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. So they're supposed to be pat on the head for something they're supposed to be doing that they've been refusing to do? That's like your kid saying, "Mom, Dad, I cleaned the room," after he got a DUI and wrecked your car. "Look, I cleaned my room." Okay, you're supposed to be cleaning your room, but you still screwed up big time. Is there more work to be done? Absolutely. It's a problem. Is the problem a significant one? A challenging one for the nation? Absolutely, he said. But we're in this for the long haul. We're going to get this right. Border staffing is also at an all-time high and will only increase under a $600 million plan that Obongo signed today. And he's going to be equipping supposedly troops and agents along the Mexican border on both sides. So what you need to see here is we're going to give $600 million to the enemy. We're going to give $600 million to Mexico. Watch. Not one penny of that will go to actually enforcing the law. I guarantee it. They lie about everything. This is going to go into bribes. This is going to go into prostitution rings. There's going to be no supervision or accountability over this money. You can shut the door so I'm not annoying your grandpa and grandma, okay, Lou? They probably don't want to hear me ranting on the radio. This measure, which Obama planned to sign today, would fund the hiring of 1,000 new Border Patrol agents to be deployed in critical areas along the border, 250 more Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, and 250 more Customs and Border Protection officers. That'll make the union happy. But what are they going to be doing? Are they actually going to be on the border, or are they going to be in offices? From politicians to average residents, many in Arizona and elsewhere say the federal government isn't doing its job despite these increased efforts and the deportations they claim they're doing. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer cited government inaction as a reason for signing the state's new immigration law, which reignited the national illegal immigration debate, caused the governor's popularity to soar in the state, and turned her into a national figure, I would say hero. The law went into effect on July 29th after a judge ruled to block its most controversial selections. So, you know, most of the story is just talking about rehashing old things. But this money's going nowhere, folks. If you believe, let me make sure I delete the right one here. If you believe they're actually going to do something with this money, you're a bigger fool than I was on my first wedding night. And I mean that wholeheartedly and seriously. Oh, what happened to Warlin? He got bumped out. Lou, did you kick Warlin out?
No.
Where'd Warlin go? What happened to him? You're not kicking people out. I gave you that privilege and now you're abusing it.
Oh, no.
Olima, tell me, did he kick him out? They have an argument or something that I can't see. But that's where it's at. Don't listen to the petty promises and these phony little handouts. $600 million, I'm telling you, it's just going to go to grease the palms of Mexican little Napoleons down there. It's not going to solve any of the problems. It's not going to help fight this war. It's not going to decrease the violence. In fact, watch. The more they deport, it's a claim to deport, the more money they spend, the more the violence is going to increase. There's not going to be any dent in it. We're not going to see anything. Oh, Warlin got back in. You're welcome back, Warlin. I hope. Did Lou boot you? I want to know. Did Lou boot Warlin? Is there something personal going on there? Give the guy a little bit of power. So, folks, just be weary of these promises that we see. And, of course, if you go onto my Facebook, you can find that article. Go to Facebook, go to Dutch Jones, you'll see it. I posted it. You know, they're bragging about what they're doing. They're bragging about it like a bunch of idiots. Let's see here. And then again, I got another article here where he actually, you know, signed the bill. But it's not going to do any good. Let's see. Amazing. There's all those thousands of troops he supposedly sent to the border a few months ago. Yeah, where are they? This is John who's listening from Arizona. Michael says, politics as usual, the Obama deception just won't stop. These are folks making comments to me on Facebook on these topics. Oh, here's another good one. Where did I put this? Oh, I got to find this here. This is great. You know that President... Show me this. Okay, I got to see my own writing. President Obama is hosting what's called an iftar dinner at the White House tonight. That's February 13th. An iftar dinner, just by the name, you should know that that is an Islamic holy ceremony. Iftar is the traditional evening meal where Muslims break the day's fast during the holy month of Ramadan. So he's having a Muslim event at the White House, but he won't have any Christian events. He abandons and blows off the Christian events. See, I don't even know if he's been to a church. If anybody knows, I want to know. Let me know. I'll get back into the chat room, but let me know if he's actually gone to a church. I want to know about it. In a statement issued Thursday, the president said such rituals, quote, remind us of the principles that we hold in common and Islam's role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. This guy is such a bold-faced, lying traitor. The fact that he is holding Islamic ceremonies in the White House should be enough to get him at the very least taken out of office and deported back to whatever country it is we figure out he actually came from. It's ridiculous. This guy's disgusting. He's an embarrassment. And this leads to something else that I wanted to talk to you guys about. I don't know if you know this, but the Islamic holidays, they rotate, they move around. And they use what's called the lunar calendar. Some Christians like to use the lunar calendar too. Some of the you know, guys that are into the, you know, the law movement and stuff, they like to use the lunar calendar. They say we're using a pagan calendar. Nobody's posted anything in there. Okay. But U.S. Muslims prep for Islamic holiday around 9/11. Now, this is from New York. This is Associated Press, Rachel Zoll, AP's religion writer. The lunar calendar that Muslims follow for religious holidays is creating a potential for misunderstandings or worse in a year when American Muslims are already confronting a spike in assaults on their faith and protests against new mosques. Okay, that's a fact. We are protesting their mosques, and I'm telling people to fling pork on any soil where they want to break ground and put a mosque. Now, Eid al-Fitr, a joyous holiday marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan, this year's falls on September 11th. So the Ramadan ends on September 11th. Muslim leaders fear that their gatherings for prayer and festivities could be misinterpreted by those unfamiliar with Islam as a celebration of the 2001 terrorist strikes. Now, Muslim Public Affairs Council, an advocacy group, I always have trouble saying that, based in good old Los Angeles, is contacting law enforcement and the Justice Department Civil Rights Division to alert them of the overlap. So we're going to get all kinds of stuff going on, where we're going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to protect these pagan, ungodly religion in their ceremonies because they're going to say there's a threat to them. Don't bang your knee, please, Anthea. The Islamic Circle of North America, which organizes Muslim family days at the Six Flags Amusement Park in several cities around Eid al-Fitr, it's EID space small a small l dash big F ITR. So I don't care if I'm mispronouncing it, for those of you that want to look it up. This year planned nothing for Saturday, September 11th because of the anniversary. A founder of Muslim Family Day, Tariq Amanullah, worked at the World Trade Center and was killed in the attacks. I don't know why they threw that in there. The Council on American Islamic Relations, a front for Hamas, a Washington-based civil rights group, is urging mosques to review the group's security guidelines, including clearing brush where people could hide and install surveillance cameras. They don't want us to see what they're actually doing at these celebrations, so they're telling people, make sure you clear away any area where somebody could hide with a camera. We don't want them to see us going, when we show a picture of the World Trade Center's coming down. Now, I know. You know what I know. I don't believe that the Islamics worked alone in the World Trade Center. Okay? I'm not one of those guys that just buys 100% into the government story. Done. We're not going to talk about that anymore. But that doesn't mean that we don't fear Islam because of their threat against Christianity. Now, the exact date of Eid al-Fitr this year is not yet known. Muslims follow different authorities on moon sightings and astronomical circulations decide when a holiday begins. It kind of sounds like President's Day in the United States. In North America, the Eid could fall on Thursday, September 9th, Friday, September 10th, or Saturday, September 11th. It is one of the two biggest Muslim holidays of the year, often compared to Christmas in its significance and revelry. The other major holiday is Eid al-Adha, at the end of the Hajj, the annual pilgrimage to Mecca, not Mecca, California, down by Salton Sea, but I heard it somewhere in the Middle East. Muslims who really attend congregational prayer fill mosques to overflowing on Eid al-Fitr, and mosque leaders often rent hotel ballrooms or convention centers to handle the crowds. Families wear their best clothes, exchange gifts, plan special meals with friends and relatives, sometimes decorate their homes inside and out, and organize carnivals. I can imagine that out in front of a Muslim's home, it's going to be little tiny, like, suicide bombers. You know how we put Santa and Frosty the Snowman out in America? It's going to be guys firing their AKs up into the air. I just don't see how this is good for America. In predominantly Muslim countries, the celebration can last for 3 days. But because of work and school obligations in the U.S., American Muslims generally attend congregational prayer on the day of the holiday, then continue the festivities over the next weekend or two. Isn't it weird how all these other cultures have these, like, party months? I gotta say, that's one thing I am jealous of other cultures and religions. You know, even the Jews get all of Hanukkah. We get Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, Easter weekend, but sometimes they extend it into a Easter break, but that's an ungodly manifestation of what the holiday should be about. Now, most mosques usually intensify security around Ramadan because of the attention the month brings. This year, leaders have grown especially concerned about safety. In recent months, mosques around the country have faced protests and vandalism. I hope it's pork. The debate over a proposed mosque and Islamic center near Ground Zero has become a national issue. You think? Yet, well before these recent tensions, American Muslims and the leaders saw trouble ahead when they checked the calendar. Harun Mughul, I like that, Harun Mughul, a New York Muslim leader who speaks regularly at mosques, says mosque leaders have been discussing Eid al-Fitr for months. When we realized that Ramadan would be ending around that time, a lot of people started sitting down together and saying, how do we handle this in a way that's appropriate, said Mughul. It's M-O-G-H-U-L, executive director of Maiden Institute, a communications consulting company. Mughul said most New York Muslims likely won't celebrate the way they normally do, and noted that a significant number lost relatives when the World Trade Center was destroyed. Many imams in the city plan sermons on dealing with loss and grief. I want to know, somebody's got to research this for me, how many Muslims were actually killed in the World Trade Centers? How many really were, and how many of them were considered martyrs by the cause of occupation by the Islamists? It's a very, very painful day for everyone, Mogul says. However, he and other American Muslim leaders don't want to make so many changes that they appear to be giving in to those who reject any Muslim observance in the United States. Some critics have said Muslims should move the date of the holiday. It is like being offended that 9/11 and Christmas fall on the same day, said Zafa Zazor, Secretary General of the Islamic Society of North America, an Indian-based communal group with tens of thousands of members. There is something unsettling about that. Unsettling what? That we don't want your ungodly gutter faith in our country? Yvonne Mafehi, 35, of Des Plaines, Illinois. Actually, it looks like Des Plaines 111. I can never read half the stuff. A Chicago suburb said she and her husband plan to stick with their usual celebration. They will attend morning prayers at their local mosque, go out for brunch, then visit friends during the day, and finish off by blowing up a Jewish children's center. I'm just kidding. I added that last part in there. I think most Americans understand the value and place of religious holidays in a person's life, said Mafei, editor of My Halal Kitchen, a blog with recipes that meet Islamic dietary laws. I wonder if they have any good pork dishes on that website. For those of you who... Lou's going to start setting up some music here. There's going to be fasting, there's going to be celebrations. And the key thing is they don't want us to see them doing the dancing and the yelling and the camel calling and supposedly misinterpret that. Maybe Obama having a Ramadan celebration at the White House because he's a Muslim. Maybe he changed his name to have Muslim name Hussein. Yeah. See, I think he's doing it there at the White House to welcome this holiday coming up. I think he's going to celebrate 9/11. Well, for one, I think he works for the New World Order, and they are glad, regardless of who did it, that 9/11 happened, because it ushered in a new type of tyranny. It did. It completely ushered it in. Well, we're going to take a break right now. Lou's got it set up, so I'm not going to make him sit around and wait. We are going to take a break, and we will be back after this.
Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7 they fought the Congo War, with their fingers on their triggers, knee deep in gore. Days and nights they battled the Bantu to their knees, they killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese. Roland the Thompson Gunner, Roland the Thompson Gunner. His comrades fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest, but of all the Thompson Gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. Van Owen threw off Roland's head. Roland the headless Thompson Gunner, Norway's bravest sons of the storm. They can still see his headless body stalking through the night, in the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who done him in. He found him in Mombasa, in a barroom drinking gin.
his Thompson gun. He didn't say a word, but he flew out of one's body from there to Johannesburg. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Talking about the man. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Eternal Thompson gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later, but he still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley, Teddy Hurst heard the birth of a Roland Thompson gun.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I really miss it when Lou can't do the sound effects and we have to just jump right out of the music. We do need to get a soundboard. If we had a good soundboard, we could be doing this. So just be thinking about that when you're thinking about the needs that we have. Why is it stopping there? Okay, there we go. We could use a new soundboard that we could take out. That way we could hook the two computers together. If it's not important to you, I understand, but if you want to make a donation for that, just tell us it's for the soundboard. I don't know how. I think we can get one off eBay for probably $50-$60. A decent soundboard that we can take around with us. Because we've got, I don't know if you guys, when you watch, when we turn the video camera on up at the hideaway, we got a gigantic soundboard that just is not portable. Only half of it works, if you remember, about the phone and everything. So we need a new soundboard, and that's a need that we have, and I'm just putting it out there for you guys. And if you see one for cheap somewhere, just and feel like making a donation off of eBay, just ship it to us. We can get, you know, let us know. We'll have the address. Have it drop shipped to us. We just ask that it has at least 6 pots on it. That's all we need, huh, Lou? Just 6 pots. Phone, microphones, hook up a couple computers for sound effects, you know, that kind of stuff, and we'll be good to go. So I'm Dutch Jones. This is the second half hour. We are on the road again. Isn't there a song by Willie Nelson, On the Road Again? See, if we had it hooked up, Lou could be playing that underneath and add a little dramatic flair. It is Friday the 13th. We are not pagans, so we don't care. I will not mention it other than that. The last half hour, we talked a little bit about the Islamic thing, Obongo doing a festivity. The Muslims not wanting to get yelled at for doing it. So they're telling everybody to chill out this year, because it fall their festivities after Ramadan end over there on what is it, 9/11. So they don't want people to confuse their pagan ranting and raving as some kind of celebration about all the dead that were murdered in the 9/11 debacle, done by the New World Order. Okay, folks, I got a great email from Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin, you can go to chuckbaldwinlive.com. chuckbaldwinlive.com/home/?, the letter P, equals 2075. But if you just go to chuckbaldwinlive.com and look for his latest, I'll post it in there myself. His latest posting on there, that's what we're going to be talking about right now. Control V and send. You need to cut and paste this, send it to your friends, folks, if you're listening in the chat room. Welcome to our folks listening on Facebook. I appreciate all the information and contact that you guys give us. I'm liking the comments I'm getting now. I'm just getting a lot of like thumbs up saying they like what we're talking about. And they like what we're doing. They like the flavor of the show. I'm getting people, giving me good comments. A couple of negative comments, but I can take negative comments too. I'm getting the usual, about 1 in 10 saying they don't believe it, but people say I sound racist. People say I sound racist, which is, I can see that because I tell the truth. And that's what people like to throw racism into it if you're telling the truth. I tell the truth about the white folks, too. I tell the truth about all the sheep. If you think I'm a racist, you just haven't listened to the show long enough. You need to do it more than a 15-minute knee-jerk reaction and go, oh, he's making fun of the Black Panthers. He must be racist. He's making fun of Obongo. He must be racist. I say that Obongo looks like a monkey just as much as I said George Bush looked like a monkey. Well, what was that? Okay, don't bump your head on the wall. It sounded like artillery off in the distance. Be careful. It was like a thump and the whole wall shook. American quality workmanship here. So if you've got friends that are saying, hey, I listened to him, thanks for referring him to me, but he sounds kind of racist. I'm not racist. I may have racists on the show, but that doesn't mean I support them. I may have libertarians on the show, but that doesn't mean I support them. I may have Mormons on the show, but that doesn't mean I'm a Mormon. I may have a Chinese person on the show, but that doesn't mean I'm Chinese. You guys have got to think outside the box and stop letting other people limit who you are in the message. I refuse to do that. So I thank you. I got two really good emails from people saying I sound great. It's hard because people accuse me of being racist. They're going to accuse me of that. That's the ad hominem attacks. Pulling out the word racist is just a sign that they don't like what I'm saying. They don't like when I talk about the truth about the war of federal aggression. So don't let them do that. Argue them. Stand up to them. Fight them every time they do it. Just get back to this Chuck Baldwin live thing. Just like I went over there and I saw that. Okay, real quick here. Clickety click. Obongo's wife looks like a monkey too. She does. Oh, someone coming in. Hello. Oh, somebody got home early today. Oh, it's Friday. Stacy's home early, guys, and she's smiling, so that's a good sign. You don't usually see people smiling the last day after getting laid off. Did you have a good last day?
Yeah, I did.
Well, are you smiling because they gave you your job back?
No.
Oh, they didn't give you your job back. You're going to get a good letter of recommendation?
And yeah.
Okay, good. Make sure you follow up on that. What else? Anything else going on?
They said they're working on something.
To keep you there? Okay, good. Let's all pray that Stacy keeps her job. We need this, even if it's a meager minimum wage, back-breaking, foot-swelling job, we need it. Unless you want to hear me whine more about donations, we need to keep Stacy working and out of the house. I'm just kidding.
I knew you don't want me home.
Well, how else am I going to sit in my recliner all day and ignore everything without, unless if you're there, you're going to be poking me with a stick.
I know.
Okay, yeah, folks.
Well, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do getting ready for martial law and all that.
The conference. Too.
The conference coming up. So maybe this is God's blessing to let you do some stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Wow.
Let's get back to Chuck Baldwin. And the reason I bring him up is you need to point people to him. His latest sermon is going to be talking about secession. That's right. Another pastor other than ours and Pastor Weaver and the handful of patriotic pastors out there talking about secession. Now here's Chuck.
Those pastors.
Chuck Baldwin. Now he's from Crossroads Baptist Church, and I believe it's in Florida in Coral Gables. If I got that wrong, let me make sure here. I don't see it on here anywhere, but if you guys go to ChuckBaldwinLive.com, you can find everything you want to. Look up the Black Regiment, Freedom Documents, Patriot Business, the Liberty Defense League, which is going to be quoted in what I'm talking about here. I'm going to read what his announcement was today. It wasn't like he just sent me an email. I'm going to borrow heavily from two outstanding columns that appear on my son's website, LibertyDefenseLeague.com. That's LibertyDefenseLeague.com, by author Russell Lancor, who is a publisher, the other Wilton Strickland, who is an attorney. Both were avid proponents of state sovereignty and independence. Lancor's column is entitled Edwin Vieira on Secession, New World Order, and the American Republic. Now you can see that if you go to the page, there's links there. The links are tinyurl://longcore-on-secession. Strickland's column is entitled Staying Away from the Federal Courthouse. See it at snipurl.com/strickland-avoid-federal-court. If you want these, you just have to go to ChuckBaldwin.live and look up states, not Supreme Court, must decide law and protect freedom. Now, both of these gentlemen share my conviction that the only chance we have to maintain and defend liberty in these United States is for free and independent states to rise in righteous indignation against the onslaught of federal tyranny that is rapidly destroying our republic. I'm reading what Baldwin said here, and I agree with it 100%. America, as one nation, is beyond redemption. The federal government is too arrogant, too malevolent, and too drunk with power to ever allow itself to be returned to the principles of federalism and constitutionalism. And this is true no matter which of the two political parties are in charge. Now, first off, this paragraph proves to me that he is understanding the basic concepts of liberty. And two, he must be listening to this show. Chuck Baldwin must be. I send him, every time we go on the air, I send him links so that he can listen to it. I haven't got any feedback, and when I meet him in October, I'm gonna ask him if he's listening to the show. Fortunately, America's founders did not create one nation with 13, now 50 provinces. They created a confederated republic with 13, now 50, free and independent states, Declaration of Independence. This means that even after the U.S. Constitution was ratified in 1787, the states maintained independent nation-state status. Therefore, each state is duly authorized and charged with the responsibility of protecting the rights and liberties of its citizens, even if that means resisting, peaceably or otherwise, the federal government, including the right of states to secede, if need be, in order to protect their liberties. Now, this is what I've been preaching for the last 4 years. I'm glad Baldwin's online with it, because now I know. Remember when we were talking, who are we going to follow? This is just another building block in his foundation that says, I will follow him into battle if he calls for it. In opposing my friend and Harvard-trained attorney Edwin Vieira's column propounding the unconstitutionality of state secession. Now, those of you that don't know Edwin Vieira, a lot of militia people throw him around because he promotes the constitutional militia. The problem is he's more of a lawyer than he is of a patriot and a historian. He loves the law more than he loves liberty. I do not like Edwin Vieira. I don't like how he defines the Constitution. I don't like how he defines the militia. That's my opinion, not Chuck Baldwin's. Now, Lancor proffers that the natural law, that's Baldwin's term, not his, right and process in which states may secede from an unnatural and coercive union, he calls it a practical blueprint for secession. Here it is. Now, this is what states have got to go through. When the federal government fails to do these things, states must stand up to be independent nations. Establish a money system based only upon gold and silver. That is the power of the purse. Now, number two, reestablish the well-regulated militia. That is the power of the sword. Now, anyone that says that Baldwin is not militia-oriented has to read this. Make sure you forward this to everybody. I mailed it to a bunch of you today. Reestablish the well-regulated militia. That is the power of the sword. Call a constitution convention in the state to rewrite the existing state constitution into a document of government fit for a nation. That's number three. And I agree with that. The states need to work on their constitutions to make them independent nations. This is the answer. This is what we should be doing. Now, if this stuff is good enough and you guys like it, we'll continue to talk about it in the next hour. I can't take calls, unfortunately, but you can send me stuff through the chat room. I'm not looking at the chat room right now, so if anybody has a real good comment, Lou, I want you to wave your hand and let me know and I'll check it out. Draft a Declaration of Independence and an Ordinance of Secession. This is what every state needs to do right now. Present the Declaration and Ordinance to the proper federal authorities. Done. Secession complete. Now the real work begins. Lankor ends his treatise in these words: secession is the hope for mankind. Who will be first? And that's what I keep saying. Which state is going to do it? I know California's not going to, but maybe some counties in California, we could organize a secede from the state first. I bring it up every time. I tell my pastor, why don't we secede from the state right here? Our community, our holy Christian community right here. And that's why I'm trying to get you people to move here with us. And I know you're saying, California, no way. But we have a power here. Do you know, and I don't even know if I should be saying this, we're working on setting up a police and fire right now. This is a plan that we're doing. So that if we do secede, we have a sheriff and we have a fire chief and we have the equipment and apparatus in place to protect ourselves. Lankor ends his treatise with these words. I'm going to read it again. Secession is the hope for mankind. Who will be first? Strickland's column is equally trenchant. He perceptibly says the following. Under the Constitution of the Founders, the states decided which powers the federal government would have. Today is the federal government that decides which power the state governments will have. It's been flipped over. That is tyranny. That is usurpation of powers. They have violated the very laws of the Constitution that they are flaunting in our face that say give them power. This is how criminals act. They break into your house, take your things, and then the worst thing is they turn around and say that they were theirs the whole time, and they're just liberating them from you who stole them from them. Conservatives and libertarians who run to federal court and beg for this treatment are their own worst enemies. What did I say last week? I am done with courts. I am done with laws. I am done with voting. Now you've got this guy Strickland saying this. Their quest for a federal veto on local matters such as gun control or property taking does as much harm to the American Civil Liberties Union's quest to as much harm as the ACLU's quest to eradicate religion from public view or to establish abortion or secular sacraments. Now, I'm me again, Dutch here. So I said in this whole Proposition 8 thing with faggot marriage, the more we go to the federal government for authority and saying, here, make this work, the more power we're giving them. We cannot give them power. They have taken very little from us. There are cases where they come in and kill and murder people, but usually it's the sheep giving up those powers. Now, liberty cannot survive without independence. And a temporary victory in any federal court today blazes a path to 1,000 defeats tomorrow. As the founders understood, any power that might be abused will be abused. So it must be avoided. Although the states abuse their power as well, I know that, such abuses have limited geographic scope and allow us to escape as a last resort. There is no escape from federal misuse of power, unless one wishes to expatriate or renounce citizenship, which the federal government is making more difficult every day. I've done that. I'm being called a seditionist. I have been for several years because I denounced my federal citizenship a long time ago when I got fired by the federal government. I said, you're not firing me, I'm firing you. Now back to the letter. If you confront an unjust law in your state, advocate its repeal. If it doesn't work, vote for candidates who will one day repeal it. Failing that, bring a challenge in state court based on the state constitution the U.S. Supreme Court cannot interfere with unless the case involves the U.S. Constitution or federal law. And as mentioned before, leave the state if you are ultimately unsatisfied with it. Do not spoil it for the others who wish to remain there. And I agree with that. I always say if California stands as a state, I'll probably leave. Because the hippies will take power, but until then, I'm going to fight them. Okay, right now, I can hear all the big government centralists and unionists out there shouting, what about the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution? To which Tim Baldwin, a constitutional attorney, historian, author, writes this. Now, this is Chuck Baldwin's son, Tim Baldwin. One of the constitutional tools by which socialists and nationalists, ideologues, have incorporated political principles of centralization and state annihilation is through the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which states, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. Now that's United States Code Article 6. To many people, this phrase has been construed to mean whatever laws and treaties those in the federal government pass, execute and uphold are binding on the people of the states and their respective governments. Now, admittedly, this concept has taken a stronghold in America and has been treated as the accepted principle of constitutional law for generations. Undoubtedly, every law student attending an accredited law school is taught this as fact. Remember what we talked about facts earlier? If you say a lie over and over enough, people will think it's fact. Just as this person was, this is Baldwin's son, when he attended Cumberland School of Law at Samford University. Not everyone agrees with the construction, however. Not everybody believes in the Supremacy Clause. There are several of us out here that say it is, on its face, illegal. Big government and monarchist himself, Alexander Hamilton, sheds light on the error of this position in 1787 when he addressed the concerns of those Americans who rejected the U.S. Constitution because of fear that the expected effect would be of the Supremacy Clause would be to subvert the sovereignty of the states to govern themselves according to the constitutions. Hamilton attempts to calm their fears, saying this. This is what Hamilton said. I will not follow from this doctrine of supremacy that acts on the large society, i.e. the Union, which are not pursuant to the constitutional powers, but which are an invasion of the residuary, and I can't remember this word, I don't know, residuary authorities of the similar societies. Will become the supreme law of the land. Federalist Papers, number 33. You guys got to read the Federalist Papers. You need to know what the pro-unionists wanted. Perhaps everyone in America should concede this, but what is not agreed upon is that the states can and should do about those laws that are not pursuant to the constitutional powers of the federal government. Many place the burden of correcting that grievance on the U.S. Supreme Court, as if a body of nine judges appointed by an executive of the federal government are an adequate remedy for the machinations of that distorted philosophy broadly accepted to those in federal office. What he's saying is, what are you saying? Let me break this down for you. Alexander Hamilton is saying, how can we let the Supreme Court decide things over states' rights when they have a vested interest because they're appointed by the federal government? It should be up to the states. Now, he says later on, these types of laws will be merely acts of usurpation and will deserve to be treated as such. Now that's Federalist Papers 33 again. These laws will be merely acts of usurpation and will deserve to be treated as such. They're tyranny. They're acts of treason against the states. Now these laws should be treated as no law at all, and moreover as a tax on liberty, and should be resisted on every level of the Union, from federal to state and local governments, as well as individuals. I didn't say that. I've been repeating that, but that was Alexander Hamilton who first said that. I always tell you, I stand on the shoulders of great men. And even though he was a Federalist, he still said some pretty good stuff. The most staunch conservative big union guy from the Founding Fathers is nothing like the Nazis we have today in office. If the Founders intended that the federal government should have unlimited power and authority to decide, translate, and dictate all matters of law and liberty, why in the name of common sense did the states retain their individuality? Why did they have states in the first place? Why didn't they just become one giant state? Independence and sovereignty following the ratification of the U.S. Constitution shows that states had a purpose. What was the Tenth Amendment there for, if states are not sovereign over the so-called federal government? There is actually no federal government. You need to realize that. The federal government is just a mechanism by which we have agreements. We inflated it and gave it false power. Our form of government has often been called the Great Experiment, but why? There have been similar documents protecting individual rights and liberties before the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights were written. Our founders were well-versed in the sagacious council of the Enlightenment philosophers, theologians, and patriots of many generations preceding them. For example, if you read John Locke's Second Treatise on Government, you will easily see where Thomas Jefferson came up with many tenets of the Declaration of Independence. In fact, many will argue today, with very good cause, that the Articles of Confederation were superior to the Constitution in 1787 that replaced it. America did not invent the republicanism of or the love of liberty. They didn't. We stand on the shoulders of great men. This is imperative that we remember this. You guys have got to read this whole letter. You guys have got to tune in Sunday morning to ChuckBaldwinLive.com and hear this sermon. You need to get copies of this sermon. You need to take it to your milquetoast pastors and say, unless you preach this truth, I am walking from your church.
Amen.
You have to do this. We finally have a Christian leader who's putting himself right in the crosshairs of the New World Order. This man is going to be killed if we don't support him, Chuck Baldwin. And you've got to come meet him and see him speak at our church in October. Just a month and a half away now, really. Today's the 13th. There's a couple more weeks of August, all of September, first weekend in October. You've got to meet this man and you have to support this man. Okay, she can hang out with you. Mom and the daughter are playing. Stretchy ring. Stretchy ring. Okay, Lou and I are working on Liberty. You guys can do girly things. Figure out what we're going to do for dinner. Okay. We got about an hour. Folks, I don't know how you feel about this. I got to get into the chat room and see if anybody's even commenting. We've got to do something. We've got to stand up about this. One of them is talking about the Jefferson movement, the secession of and creation of a new country. Whatever it is, it must be supported. I keep just trying to get our little communities to secede from the county and from the state, and then we can start from there. But it's about synergy, people. It's about having enough folks to get the battle fought, to get the paperwork filed, to put them on notice, to poke them in the eye, and be ready to stand when the sheriff shows up, if he's a coward sheriff, and supports the federal government. Are you willing to do that? Are you even ready to do that? What do you need to do to support men like Chuck Baldwin, Pastor John Weaver, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell? Are you ready to stand in his defense, in any one of them? Are you ready to stop being a slave? I'm telling you, you need to get these Chuck Baldwin sermons. You need to circulate them. You need to get the sermons that have been uploaded through our website and stuff. You need to get the... are all the sermons up? Are we up to date? Okay. America's Providential History. You've got to fight to get those out. Our biggest weapon is not the ammo in our pouches on our LBEs. Our biggest weapon is not sighting in our rifles or the knives. Those are good weapons. But our biggest weapon is the truth, folks. The gospel truth of liberty and where this nation really came from. And I don't care who's listening to this. I don't care who these guesties are. I don't care who all these people are tuning in. If you're not for the holy cause of liberty, you're a traitor to true liberty. And if you're not doing something for this, if you're not taking these shows, even these little Weasley shows that I do, and spreading the word, you're a traitor to the cause. Because you're just sitting around waiting for everybody else to do the work. You're letting guys like Dutch and Lou here take the risk of being put on a list somewhere. Stop hiding in a hole. Get out of your bunkers, find these Chuck Baldwin teachings, and spread them. Let Chuck Baldwin know you'd follow him. I'm gonna. Come to our conference, meet others. I don't care if you're coming from halfway across the country. We have people coming from Georgia, South Carolina last year. We got people that come from Georgia to do our trainings here. Not because they can't get good training in Georgia, but because they need to network with us so we know they're there. Enough of this isolationist, lone wolf, I don't like you because you're mixing Christian with militia stuff. Be bold. Be bold. The first step is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the opening to all wisdom. Have a healthy fear of the Lord. Take that wisdom that you gain from that and spread it. Are we getting ready here?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And after we come back, hopefully we'll be on Liberty Tree Radio, folks. I'm heated up. I'm powered up. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. And then we're going to get into the actual pastors of the American Revolution. Great men who gave their honor and swore their lives to the cause of liberty. Make us feel pathetic for how weak we are today. Okay, we'll be back after this. Go ahead.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back. Abroad. We control, outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's
all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention.
World order,
a new world order.
Attention!
Government
is
an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
that! Jehu's
radio program!
And now for something completely different.
Okie dokie. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the second hour of the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live Friday the 13th, 2010. Yesterday we weren't on, just too sick. I tried to do the show on Wednesday. What, I get about halfway through it on Wednesday? But I seem to be okay today. Just taking it easy, eating a lot of bananas and Imodium AD. And I'm going to get through 2 hours today. Welcome to our Liberty Tree radio listening audience. We appreciate you guys more than you know. I like your emails. I like your input. Even your negative feedback helps me do a better job. So thank you so much for sending that in. And where do you send that email to? Well, it's the Dutch Jones Show at yahoo.com. That's actually, it's not the Dutch Jones Show. The email is actually DutchJones SHOW at yahoo.com. That's Dutch Jones Show at yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and just type in Dutch Jones, tell me you heard me on Liberty Tree Radio or you broadcast or CB Channel 2, wherever you heard it, let me know and I'll add you as a friend. I've had some real weird friend requests the last couple of days. I had, where is he? I gotta look it up here. Now, Ed listening up there may be able to give me a little bit of input on this. I did add him, after I asked him some questions. It's the guy that was involved in the Hutari thing. What was his name? Lackamar? Oh, wait, I guess they did it wrong here. They got the A-C-K-O-M-A-R, something like that. Or whatever it was. But, no, that's not Lackamar. But he asked to be my friend, and I don't know if he listened to the show, but I was surprised that somebody, you know, maybe, I don't know, really weird to me that that guy would want to do this from, like, the Southeast Michigan Volunteer or something, but he wants to be my friend on Facebook. But go ahead and let me know who you guys are, and I'll add you as a list. Add you to the list. It's a good way, because what I do is everything I'm going to talk about, even some things I don't get to, I post on Facebook. And I throw those out, and then I give little warnings that I'm about to go on the air, things like that. And throughout the day, I also get suggestions that way for the show. So I really appreciate it. I do like the feedback. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people from Michigan who are up in that area that hear me on Liberty Tree Radio. One of the biggest ones is they want me to talk about how to start a militia. And quite honestly, I'm a little fearful of that, because anyone who listens to Liberty Tree Radio is already getting a good doctrinal training in that. Although I'm more than happy to give my feeble side of it, so we'll be doing that over the next few weeks, some organizational things, and I'm just going to give you my opinion of it. It's not written in stone. It's just the four or five militias I've been involved with and how things worked there, what didn't work, how we try and pull things together. So that's fine. Got a couple emails saying they like the show, except they think I'm a little racist. Not really sure why you say that, because I'm not actually a racist. I have nothing against other races. I just point out facts when I see them. And my comment to that is just keep listening. Keep listening, and you know that being a Christian, I'm bathed in the blood of Christ, and I accept only one race. We're all human. Now, I may have some certain opinions about cultures, which is a different thing, so call me a culturalist. I do not appreciate certain cultures that are usually pagan in origin or ungodly. So if you listen to the show enough, you'll see that I'm not actually a racist. I just call it like it is. And if you can't handle that, that's your problem, not mine. And that's just the way I do it. Because everything I do here, I try to be biblically based. Let me tell you something. The local people that listen, they tell me if I step out doctrinally. They tell me if I cross a line. I get feedback instantly from the old folks that listen to the show here locally, and that I go to church with, and my militia folks that I'm friends with. It can be kind of harsh sometimes, because we have to sit down and chew the fat. And when I'm wrong, I admit it. But when I know I'm not biblically or constitutionally or historically wrong, I stand my ground and they learn something. And that's the way it should be. Done in good faith, done in good spirits, and not just about dragging each other down. Well, folks, I think that's pretty much it. We don't have a phone today, so you can't call in. I mean, you could, but I don't have it hooked up, because we don't have a soundboard anymore. And that's one of the needs. We may have worked out our bank account issue, so we'll be sending some money real quick over to Liberty Tree Radio. yeah, we'll be chewing the pork fat, Warland, just to offend our Muslim listeners. If we have Muslim listeners, I'd be surprised. But we've got the money thing figured out. The people that stole money are, you know, it's going back in because they got caught. So we'll be able to send some money in the next couple days over to Liberty Tree Radio to help pay for the bandwidth. And as always, if you want to take part in that and help out, just go to Liberty Tree Radio. .4mg.com. Is there a chip in there, or is that on their other one? LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com, and there's a chip in there, and just throw in $5. Everybody just does a buck or two, $5 here, and just say it's for the Dutch Jones hour that he does four times a week, whatever. Just say for Dutch Jones, and he'll know it's coming from our listeners, and it'll help them out, and I encourage you to support them. They are the bigger factor. It's like the chain of command. We're the little squad level. They're the bigger level. I don't know how you would define them, but it should flow bigger. They have a much more larger outreach than we do, so I want to make sure that they get supported wholeheartedly. And anybody that carries their signal out from there, thank you. I'm always getting emails from people telling me they heard it in strange places and want to promote it, and that's great. You can promote this show any way you want. Just do it in its entirety. If you're going to cut it up, don't cut it up so it makes me sound like an idiot. I know that's kind of hard because I do that on my own, but you get my point. Well, for the last half hour, we've been talking about the wonderful pastor from Florida, Chuck Baldwin, and his recent sermon that came out where he's calling for, not necessarily calling for, but defending the cause of secession. And he's not just saying it himself. He's relying on the founding fathers. He's relying upon constitutional lawyers. He's relying upon thinkers of this day and from the founding. and showing that we have a duty to secede when the federal government usurps its power, which it has. It is so far past, where are we going here? It is so far past any question that they have turned it upside down and have stolen the power. Where is this here? And the states have a responsibility. And just as a, where did it go? Oh, that's the wrong one. Chuck Baldwin over here. I'm going to go into that in the next half hour. Let me just give you what the states should be responsible for and what they should be doing now, according to Chuck Baldwin's argument. And I agree with every single one of these points. He has 5 points. Now, secession is a legal process by which a lower authority pulls out from a tyrannical, unjust higher authority. You can secede from a marriage. It's called divorce. You can secede from kings. You can secede in business. If you have a contract and both parties of that contract are not following that contract to the letter of the contract becomes null and void. And the injured party can pull out. And we, the people, and more directly, the states, are the injured party. You okay, Lou? You look like you're in pain over there. Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were having a spasm or something, or give birth to a planet, the way that face was looking. So it's already done. We could argue this all day long. If you think that the federal government has not overstepped its bounds, I don't know where you've been living. I have no time for you. I have you're worse than a sheep. You're a lamb. Now, if you're a sheepdog and you've educated yourself, you've followed good teachings, and you've made proof of those teachings to make sure that they weren't just feeding you a line, you know that the federal government is so out of control it's not even funny. They're doing things now that the founding fathers wouldn't even believe that we as Americans would tolerate. We don't even deserve to be called Americans. I honestly believe that. This nation no longer deserves the right to be called Americans. Just be serfs. Servants. Subjects. We don't deserve it. But this is what Chuck Baldwin is saying that the state should start doing right now. Establish a money system based upon gold and silver. They need to reestablish the power of the purse. Two, they need to reestablish the well-regulated militias at the state level and state control so that the states regain the power of the sword, another biblical doctrine. Call a constitutional convention in the state, a state constitutional convention, to rewrite the existing state constitutions into a document of governance that is fit for a nation. Put trade in there, put border protection in there, put defense of the people in there. Take these state constitutions, expand them, rewrite them so that they become independent nations. Kind of like Texas has a real good constitution. It is almost an independent nation. Look at the Texas Constitution. You'll be very impressed with it. So that's number three. Draft a Declaration of Independence and an Ordinance of Secession and deliver them to the federal tyrants. Draft a Declaration of Independence and an Ordinance of Secession on the state level. This is stuff that we should be working on right now. And if you don't have people in that will do this, elect them in. Remove everyone that doesn't want to do it and elect people who will. Now, some states are lost. That's where we're going to have a greater battle, like here in California, where we're going to have to cut this state up to make it work. Now, the last thing you should do is you should present those declarations of independence and the ordinances to the proper federal authorities. Put them on notice legally in writing and say, this is it. Our contract is null and void because you have violated A, B, C. There probably aren't enough letters in the alphabet. You're going to have a bunch of triple A's and quadruple B's because of the crimes against the people of your individual states is going to be so great. Now that's secession. Done. That's when the real work begins. We have to take these states and be ready for the boot to come down. Now if all 50 states do it, what are they going to do, folks? Now I know not all 50 are going to do it. Maybe 20 or 30 would be a wish list that would be maybe asking too much. But that's what we have to do. And we have to do it now. So I had somebody in the chat room saying, well, what about Jefferson? Talking about the Pacific Northwest wanting to secede and be Jefferson. Yep. Who knows what these states will look like? It may not be Montana. It may not be North and South Dakota. It may be something completely new. But it starts in the state legislatures having politicians that are brave enough to do what they were truly elected to do, and that is serve the state and the people of that state. Not really serving the state, but serving the people of that state. I misspoke. But you get my point. Not be lackeys of the federal government so they can get handouts. This isn't going to happen overnight, but now we actually have a national leader, Chuck Baldwin. Go to chuckbaldwinlive.com. That's Chuck Baldwin chuckbaldwlive.com. That's chuckbaldwlive.com. And just look for his latest sermon that he's put up there, his latest blog, whatever you guys want to call it. And you need to make copies of the sermon that he's going to do Sunday. I think it's 10 a.m. Eastern time, because he's in Florida. 10 a.m. Eastern time, record that sermon. Request copies of the sermon. Buy a copy. I don't know how he gets them out. And give them to everybody. They need to hear this sermon. And like I said in the last hour when I was talking to just my regular listeners, my fan base. They're not my fans. They're members of the cause. I'm not that arrogant. We don't have ditto heads here. We don't have duchy heads. We have independent thinkers who know what they're doing that are ready to sacrifice for the cause. Take these to your wimpy, milquetoast pastors and tell them, if you don't seriously check into this and get back to me, I'm walking. My tithe will stop, I will stop attending, and I will tell everybody I know that this church no longer serves liberty and the freedom of the people that go to it. It serves the state. I'm not even going to talk about 501c3s, what you need to do. How you need to get them out of that realm. This is a Christian cause. People can get mad at me, send me all the emails you want, saying I'm alienating too many people. The only reason this revolution worked in the first place is it was started in the churches. Started in the hearts of good Christian men, but then the churches took over. Shots heard around the world, Lexington and Concord, Christian militias. Argue with me all you want about it. You're lying if you say that the Christian militias didn't start this revolution in the 1770s. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour, but I want to keep going on about this Chuck Baldwin sermon. I'm going to check in the chat room here, see how many people are yelling at me for anything. How dare you? You can't do that. Let's see. The land won't change, but the map sure will. Yeah, the land's going to stay the same. I really think so. I really think so. Hey, Genuine White Boys listening from Georgia. Thank you. I think, you know, there's going to be new states. There needs to be. Even Colorado, the state that I was raised in that I love with my heart, Denver's a liberal bastion. They're Blue Dog Democrats is what they call them there. And they're liberal Democrats that claim to be moderates. What they are is mostly they're farmers, corporation farms, heads of corporation farms that get subsidies from the federal government. So they are at the trough. They're at the teat of the federal madness. When you get out in the rural communities of small towns like Eaton, Colorado, and Nunn, Colorado, what else is there? I gotta get to think of Larimer County, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not talking about the big cities. You got Fort Collins, which is mostly liberal. Colorado Springs now is a military city. But out in the small areas, people want true freedom and want to be left alone. So there's going to be some weird boundaries. It's going to make gerrymandering look terrible. Sadly, I don't think this can be done without blood. I pray that it can, without blood being spilled. But I think it's going to happen because these tyrants want to hold on to their power so desperately. They're going to do everything they can. And the problem is that what's going to happen is it won't be suddenly 10 states at once that'll do this. Or 10, let's just say 10 entities, 10 groups. You know, you won't have Vermont, New Hampshire, you know, Connecticut, and all these all once forming, you know, especially Massachusetts. They won't form a big block and go, that's it. Washington, get out. And give traveling papers to all the federal employees in there. It's not going to happen like that. It'll be one or two states, probably southern states, probably Idaho, Montana, and federal troops are going to hit them with their full force. Now, unless we pour in there like what is happening in Arizona, if it's truly happening, it will be quelled and wiped out, and tyranny will succeed even worse than it is now because we'll make examples out of them. But if we have large, massive groups of people working together that will oppose this, I heard a great... I don't know if it was on the Intel report or not, but somebody asked Mark Kornke how it was going to happen, how it was going to start. And he said it was going to be like Ruby Ridge or Waco, where these federal troops are going to be seen streaming into a location. But rather than, like in the past, they get there, they build up their, you know, their siege mentality, they're not going to get to the location they're going because militias are going to be throughout the streets, throughout the back roads. It's going to be more like Lexington and Concord. The militias will be scrambled and they will harass, harangue, and destroy these smaller attempts. So they'll have to pull a bigger attempt, you know, full frontal occupation of regions. But unless we stick together, it's not going to happen. And this small blueprint, this isn't a major plan. This is just an idea that Chuck Baldwin has put out here. Again, go to ChuckBaldwinLive.com. And the treatise is called States, Not Supreme Court, Must Decide Law and Protect Freedom. Because he gets into it. Every time we go to the Supreme Court, like with this Proposition 8 to stop faggot marriage, yes, I said faggot, sodomite marriage, we give power to the federal court. We shouldn't even, as a people, be acknowledging that. We should just say, no, you're not going to do it. And the local magistrates, because marriage licenses are issued by the county clerks, so we've had a couple in our region, Tulare, what's Bakersfield? Is that Kern County? Just say, no, we're not going to issue them, period. You can yell all you want. We refuse to do it. Until you have federal officials being told no by local, state, and county officials, this will continue to linger until we're all dead and we're all in camps. But when you have a clarion call, like a pastor, Chuck Baldwin, or like my pastor, Warren Mark Campbell, who stand up every Sunday, especially now, and say, this has got to stop. The states need to retake, and that's not take power, regain the power that was stolen from them. It's a battered wife syndrome to keep doing what we're doing, to keep allowing the federal government to molest, hinder, harm, steal, rob, and rape us every single day. It's a battered wife syndrome. And when you listen to your politicians, your so-called public safety people who say there's nothing we can do, the federal government has power, they need to be slapped once, given the truth, and if they don't take it, they need to be taken out of office. First, you must make legal passive attempts, not passive, but nonviolent attempts, and put someone in there who will do the job. Getting back to Sheriff Max theory, right? But the time is going to come when this isn't going to do any good, folks. I've told you, the time of courts, the time of so-called laws is done for me. That's why I keep pushing this stuff in front of you. I can't make you act. I can't even make my own militia act in this way. They have to want to do it for just and Christian reasons. My job is to educate you, to lead you to the truth, which is a godly truth, that we are not supposed to be living this way. Now, there's all these people that want to be independent sovereigns. They want to be sovereign citizens. It's a move in the right direction, but I don't believe in an individual sovereignty. I believe there's only one sovereign, and he is in heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. I think they've got the right idea, but the wrong end result. Now, maybe they don't think themselves tiny gods, and I'm oversimplifying it. But we have to do this together. We can't be individual sovereigns all doing our own thing. That way lies chaos. There is a common law, a law of the land, God's law, that must be followed in these things. And the very fact that the federal government has destroyed those things, flipped them over, twisted them around, and tell us that everything is the way it's supposed to be, that we just don't understand the law, proves that they are tyrants and fit for the guillotine. Period. End of story. A tyrant deserves only one thing, a coward's death. At the end of a rope, the French use the guillotine. I don't really like guillotine. I like firing squads and hangings after a fair trial. And those not found to be truly violent should be exiled to communist nations. Send them all to Cuba. Send them all to Venezuela. Send them all to Mexico. I would love to, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, but wouldn't it be great to exile Pelosi and all those scum Mexico? Just stick them on a plane with enough fuel to get to Mexico City. You know, and escort them there with some fighter jets, because what's Mexico going to do? Escort them there with some fighter jets, make them land, and then tell them they can't come back. If they're found coming back, they would be executed. Complete exile, like other nations in history have done it. When these tyrants, they had two choices: kill the tyrant or exile him and tell him if they ever see him again, they will kill them and their whole families. That's the way it used to be done. And that's how these barbarians need to be treated. The barbarians inside the gate, and guess what? You guys put them in office. Especially those of you that voted for Republicans thinking, oh, that's the answer. You need to repent for that. Everyone who voted for George Bush needs to repent just as much as the idiots that voted for Obongo. And the idiot vice president, I forgot his name. Biden. Do you understand? Are you picking up what I'm putting down, people? In the next half hour, we're going to talk about the true Christian pastors that were patriots during the first revolution. There are several from the second war for independence, which was some people call the Civil War. I call it the War of Federal Aggression. And now this is the second war of federal aggression. And the problem is that most Americans don't even realize it's being waged against them. It's like some people always say the biggest thing that Satan ever did was convince people he didn't exist. The greatest evil that the federal government ever committed was convincing you that they are not at war against you and are seeking to destroy you. The sad news is 97% of the people in America accept that as a way of life. Oh, it's okay. We don't mind. We don't mind the way things are going on. But then you get guys like Chuck Baldwin who are throwing stuff out like this on the internet in the public purview. This man needs to be protected and prayed for, folks. He's going to be killed. He's going to end up in one of those plane crashes or found dead floating in his hot tub. You guys been following the news? How many people that are outspoken against the New World Order, how many of them are ending up dead on the side of a mountain or in a hot tub somewhere? Unexplained injuries? We got to pray for Chuck Baldwin. I can't wait to meet the man. I hope he survives to make it to October. I hope he takes part in some of our weapons demonstrations. It's going to consider an honor. Anybody that would do this, that would put their... I'm throwing the same stuff out there, but I don't have the following that Chuck Baldwin does. I'm not a national figure. You Google Dutch Jones and usually you just get, you know, a couple things. You Google Chuck Baldwin, look at everything you get. I'm not asking to be a national figure, but in fact, I don't envy the attention he's going to get. But my message would remain the same. The message would remain the same. I stand on the shoulders of great men who have already figured this stuff out, and I'm calling you to pay attention to them. Google Pastor John Weaver. Google Pastor John, J-O-H-N, W-E-A-V-E-R, John Weaver, from Georgia. Read their teachings. Let it instill in you a desire to do the right thing. Lou's going to take over the computer here for a second, and I got to stretch while we come up with... he's going to do some music here. We've got a half hour left. I'm going to give you some great pastors of the American Revolution that stood up to tyranny, taught from the pulpits that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, taught that a good man arms himself, trains martially, and protects his family. We can do nothing less in this. In fact, we should be doing much more. We should be sharing the knowledge that you can get from Liberty Tree Radio, from guys like Chuck Baldwin, guys like Pastor Warren Mark Campbell at the Church at Korea that you can get to through our link. Go to the Black Regiment on our website. You'll see a thing that says Black Regiment on our main page. Black Robe Regiment on DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk. Go to Black Robe Regiment. Look up a church in your area and go find that pastor and talk to him about these causes of liberty. You getting ready to go, Lou?
Yeah.
You ready to go? Okay, we're going to be back after this break, and we're going to talk to you about a little bit of history. I'll get off the current era and get into history. We'll be back right after this break. Obama the Wannabe. That's,
If you have the soul and the spirit, never fear it, you'll see it through.
Hearts and its fire.
The strong obey when a strong man shows them the way. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder, and bolder they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan. When stout-hearted men can stick together, man to
and more.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Government is the problem. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. Rough edit right there, rough jump in there. We don't have a soundboard anymore. So I'm just switching between audio sources on UBroadcast. This is Dutch Jones coming to you live on this 13th of August. It is a Friday, 2010. We're on UBroadcast. We're on Liberty Tree Radio. And we appreciate them transmitting us. We're going to try and get a donation over to you now that we've got everything figured out in our bank account. It just died. So I don't know if you guys could hear that or not. I can't fade it. I can't do anything. It just drops off. But I wouldn't be able to do the show if it wasn't for Lou, and I want to thank Lou, our engineer. He figures out everything, makes sure we get on the air, comes over here, and does what we can do. Folks in the chat room, I want to thank you for tuning in. I see we got people from MySpace, Facebook, all checking in. So we don't know how many people are really listening. There's about 12 people in our chat room. I don't know how many are on Liberty Tree Radio. We don't have a phone today. I apologize. I apologize deeply, but we don't have the equipment to tap into the phone anymore. I literally don't have a soundboard. The one we had was just stopped working. It started buzzing real bad. You guys remember that. So we do what we can do. So we're coming to you right now from Central California, where the battle is raging, both spiritually and politically. And we're preparing for the Battle of Arms. And we here at the Church of Cahuilla, we train standing on the shoulders of those great churches from the American Revolution. We don't just willy-nilly run out and make up our own doctrine. We follow the Bible first, of course, the teachings of Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to turn this audio up a little bit here. And then we also look at history. We can learn from the teachings of our founding fathers and from great pastors. And people forget. I got a lot of comments since I've been doing this show. Switched over to Liberty Tree Radio, and I think there were a lot of militia guys there that are just uncomfortable with me bringing up religion. And I'm just sorry to tell you, I'm not sorry, I'm here to tell you that you need to educate yourself. The American Revolution was started in the churches. the founding fathers, you can argue, oh, they were deists, they were atheists, they worshipped pawn scum, but the truth of it is the majority of them were Christians. They prayed before every meeting. They prayed to Jesus Christ. They used the Bible. Which book of the Bible did they use to form their government, Lou? Deuteronomy. That's right, Lou. Deuteronomy was the number one resourced book in the Bible for sculpting our laws. Now, if you've been listening for the last hour, we've been talking about secession. We've been talking about following good leaders. We've been talking about taking steps to defend, regain, seize back our liberty. Well, those same things were being taught in churches in the 1860s and 1870s in colonial America. They were being spoken about, yes, in the streets, on soapboxes, back in beer halls or whatever they called them back then, but they were spoken of loudly in the churches. Religion played a major role in the American Revolution by offering a moral sanction for opposition to British tyranny, an assurance to the average American that revolution was justified in the sight of God. As a recent scholar has observed, by turning colonial resistance into a righteous cause and by crying the message to all the ranks in all parts of the colonies, ministers did the work of secular radicalism and did it better. So, one of the things the Founding Fathers really worried about was a weak pulpit. Hello, Stacy. She's batting her eyes at me as she comes in and out. Was a weak pulpit, because they knew that if they had a weak series of pastors, they couldn't overthrow the chains of tyranny. And that's what we have today. We have weak pastors, and the government knows that. The government controls our churches. Back then, ministers served the American cause in many capacities. During the Revolution, they were military chaplains, as penmen for committees of correspondence, and as members of state legislatures, constitutional conventions, and the National Congress. Some even took up arms, leading Continental troops into battle. The Revolution split some denominations, notably the Church of England, whose ministers were bound by oath to support the King and the Quakers. We have that today with the 501c3 churches, don't we? Now, the Quakers were traditionally pacifists, and religious practice suffered in certain places because of the absence of ministers and the destruction of churches, but in other areas, religion flourished. Now, of course, you guys know I don't like the word religion. I like faith, but religion is how it was written back then, and that was the term they used. The Revolution strengthened millennialist strains in American theology. At the beginning of the war, some ministers were persuaded that with God's help, America might become the principal seat of the glorious kingdom which shall erect upon earth in the, which shall erect upon earth in the latter days. Victory over the British was taken as a sign of God's partiality for America, and stimulated an outpouring of millennialist expectations, the convictions that Christ would rule over earth for 1,000 years. Now, this attitude combined with the groundswell of secular optimism that the future of America to create the buoyant mood of the new nation that became so evident after Jefferson assumed the presidency in 1801. Now, I got to tell you, I don't buy into the millennialism thing. I don't think a lot of preachers back then did. But the treatise that I'm reading from is Religion and the Founding of the American Republic. This is a piece that I found together, but pulls a lot of it together. I don't agree with the millennialism. Not a lot of people thought it was the end of the world then, like they do today. Now let me give you some ideas here as to why people really did think it is a holy cause of liberty, and why the actual battle cry of the American Revolution was no king but King Jesus. Not this, no taxation without representation. Those were the corporate money grubbers of the day. And the militias that still follow that today have no concept of history, and they have a retarded view of the truth. Now, religion as cause for the revolution. Now, Joseph Galloway, he was born in 1731, died in 1803. He was a former speaker of the Pennsylvania Assembly and close friend of Benjamin Franklin. He opposed the revolution and fled to England in 1778. Like many Tories, he believed, as he asserted in this pamphlet, that the revolution was to a considerable extent a religious quarrel caused by Presbyterians and Congregationalists, whose principles of religion and political views were equally averse to those of establishing the church and government. Now, there's a book, Historical and Political Reflections and the Rise of Progress in the American Rebellion, from page 54. Joseph Galloway writes, and I've got to blow it up here, it's hard to read, and as I blow it up, this is on page 54 from his book. Politics as well as religious are debated and decided. From hence, their orders and decrees are effused throughout America, and to them as ready and implicit obedience is paid to the due to the authority of any foreign power whatever. But they did not stop here. Now, the principal matter recommended by the faction in New England was a union of the Congregational and Presbyterian interfaith thought throughout the colonies. Now, this person is arguing at the time that this happened, when he left, that the revolution started between Congregationalists and Presbyterians. It is a Christian battle. This is somebody at the same time that it occurred. This isn't people making it up now and an opinion. This is a man who was contemporary of the time who said, I am leaving the church. Now, Jonathan Mayhew, an eloquent proponent of the idea that civil and religious liberty was ordained by God, Jonathan Mayhew considered the Church of England as a dangerous and almost diabolical enemy of the New England way. The bishop's battle with the snake emerging from it representing his view in the Anglican hierarchy. Okay, the bishop's battle with the church started in its view of the Anglican hierarchy. The very Church of England was overbearing, the way that it was controlled. And the free Christians, you know, people can say, how can there be free-thinking Christians in, you know, at that time period, knew that the Church of England was abhorrent and counter to Christian thought. Resistance to tyranny is a Christian duty. Jonathan Mayhew delivered this sermon, one of the most influential in American history, on the anniversary of the execution of Charles I. In it, he explored the idea that Christians were obligated to suffer under the oppressive ruler. As some Anglicans argued, Mayhew asserted that the resistance to a tyrant was a glorious Christian duty. Now, in offering moral sanctions for political and military resistance, Mayhew anticipated that the position that most ministers took during the conflict with Britain were wrong. So these pastors that were controlled by the Church of England were tools of the government. They went out of their way to to discourage their people to fight because they were being controlled by England. Now, on the other side, you have Peter Muhlenberg, and I've talked about him before, Muhlenberg, M-U-H-L-E-N-B-E-R-G, 1746 to 1807. He was the prime example of a fighting parson. During the Revolutionary War, he drilled his militia. He warned them of the coming battles that were going to come. He preached on the biblical doctrine of warfare from the pulpit. Now, as the eldest son of the Lutheran patriarch Henry Malchor Muhlenberg, young Muhlenberg at the conclusion of a sermon on January, I think it was the first Sunday in January, 1776, to his congregation in Woodstock, Virginia, threw off his clerical robes to reveal the uniform of a Virginia militia officer. Having served with distinction throughout the war, Muhlenberg commanded a brigade that successfully stormed the British lines at Yorktown. He retired from the army in 1873 as a breveted major general. Breveted means it was a battlefield kind of promotion. Muhlenberg, a Lutheran pastor, preacher, whatever you want to call him, wore his uniform at the pulpit. He would lean his weapon against the pulpit. Now, a revolutionary chaplain named James Caldwell, born 1734 to 1881, a Presbyterian minister at Elizabeth, New Jersey, was one of the many clergymen who served as chaplains during the Revolutionary War. Now, at the Battle of Springfield, New Jersey, on June 23, 1780, when his company ran out of wadding, now this is a famous one, Caldwell was said to have dashed into a nearby Presbyterian church, scooped up as many Watts hymnals as he could carry, and distributed them to the troops, shouting, "Put Watts into them, boys!" Caldwell and his wife were both killed before the war ended. Now, there's a famous painting of he's screaming, he's holding a book saying, "Give them Watts." You know, it's also quoted saying, "Put Watts in them, boys." For those of you who don't know, which there should be very few that don't know this listening to Liberty Tree Radio and my show on my outlet, the muzzle-loading muskets of the time, or the rifles that the colonials were using, needed to have wadding. Well, they ran out of the cloth or back-ticking or whatever they had, and so he went in and grabbed hymnals. Watts was a person who published these beautiful songs that people would sing in the churches, and he was tearing the pages out and putting and handing them to the soldiers so they could continue to fight. They still had enough powder and they had enough ball, but they had no wadding. So he's like, "Give them Watts." So not only was it a physical presenting of warfare, it was giving them the beautiful gospel, as it were, from the hymnals into their bodies, into the British invaders' bodies. Now, a lot of the battle flags of the American Revolution had religious inscriptions on them. Now, you guys know the flag that I fly on my website, that you'll see on my MySpace page, is the flag that's the blue background in the upper left corner with the red cross on it in white. That is a Christian battle flag used by Cromwell, used in the American Revolution, used in the Civil War. A few battle flags, there's one here that I see in front of me here that says, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Resistance to tyrants, those things were flown in battle. Now, I'm going to keep going on here. I've got about 15 minutes. John Witherspoon, 1723 to 1794, was the most important political person of the Revolutionary period. He represented New Jersey in the Continental Congress from 76 to 82. So all you idiots out there that say that Christian men shouldn't serve in office, it was at the founding of our nation, and it later became disapproved of by the tyrants, and you bought it. For all you people that say politics shouldn't be preached from the pulpits, it was preached from the pulpits at the founding of this nation. And anyone who goes against it is traitorous to the beliefs and the beginnings of this nation. And I am sick of it. I'm sick of hearing people who are telling Christians to shut up and stay in your churches. You say it to me, you're going to get somebody in your face that's going to be giving you proof and facts. And if you don't like it, you got to leave. You're not going to be part of the cause. You're part of the problem. He signed the Declaration of Independence and served on more than 100 committees. He was president of Princeton. Witherspoon was accused of turning the institution into a seminary of sedition by the British. A seminary of sedition because he was training the pastors to fight back in a completely Christian doctrine backed up. There is a biblical doctrine of warfare. Let's see. I've got all this stuff for you guys. I want to make sure that you get it. I mean, I can't find Lexington and Concord. Where did I put that? Lexington and Concord, that was a church militia. That wasn't a bunch of guys just out drinking. Buddy said, hey, let's start a militia. That was a church militia. The militias of the day were trained in the churches. I'm trying to remember the name of the pastor at Lexington. Google it for me. It's a brain fart on my part. The pastor at Lexington. Starts with a C. It's in my head. When asked if his men would fight, he said, yes, my parishioners will fight because that is how they've been trained to fight. And the 100 or so people that stood out there against the British rallied around the church on the green. It was the church green right in the middle of town. And it's going to happen again. I know it is. There's going to be an awakening in these churches. They just have to be... Jonas Clark, thank you. Pastor Jonas Clark. Jonas Clark is a prime example of this. I got to make sure I can find the document. Is it Clark with an E?
No,
I think
it's just
an E. Okay. I got to make sure. I got to find my document on it. So, Holy Spirit Ministry Training. Holy Spirit. Spirit of... Yeah, I got it here. I got it. Famous Americans, Jonas Clark. Born in Newton, Massachusetts. I was born in Massachusetts. Born in Boston. Oh, no. What is this? I go to it and I get some stinking... Okay. Let's see. Make sure I get the right thing here. Jonas Clark, a clergyman born in Newton, Massachusetts on 25 December 1730, died in Lexington, Massachusetts, 15 November 1805. He graduated Harvard in 1752 and ordained as Reverend Mr. Hancock's successor. Yeah, Hancock was there before him, successor at Lexington, Massachusetts, on 5th November. He remained there until his death. He was, as was common in his days, he was a farmer as well as a clergyman and a militia member. He cultivated about 60 acres of land. He was a true example of a parson who lived among his people and lived on his land. He was an ardent patriot. Mr. Clark was of a class of citizens who rendered service second to no others in entertaining and animating the popular mind on the great question of issue of liberty. He well understood the state of the question between the colonies and the mother country, and from 1762 till 1776 drew up an able series of papers giving instructions to the representatives sent by the town to the general court. These papers are still among the Lexington town records, and are conceived in a manly yet calm and respectable spirit. Mr. Clark was noted for his hospitality and was entertaining John Hancock and Samuel Adams on his house on the night of 18 April 1775, when Paul Revere warned him of the approach of the expedition sent out by General Gage. One of those objects was to surprise and capture these two patriots. When asked by his guests whether the people would fight, Mr. Clark replied that he had trained them for this very hour, and they would fight if need be, die too under the shadow of the house of God. It was but a few rods from Mr. Clark's house that the first blood of the Revolution was shed on the following day, 19 April 1775, when the men that fell were his parishioners. From this day, said he, when he saw their bodies lying there dead, will be dated the liberty of the world. Mr. Clark published several sermons, among them one to commemorate the Battle of Lexington in 1776. Jonas Clark, folks. I keep trying to tell people that we need to rename our militia the Jonas Clark Brigade, because this guy trained his militia. He leaned his weapon on the pulpit. He was the best shot in his militia. He had the best rifle in his militia, and he was the godly man who trained their souls to serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, unless this revolution starts in the hearts of good Christian men, it is doomed to fail. And I know I'm going to lose listeners over this, but that is not my point, to gain listeners. My point is to educate the hearts, minds, and souls of those that are supposed to be serving the Lord first, and then the people of their community. There cannot be a militia without God at the head of it. There cannot be a holy cause of liberty without the holy part. Nothing we do will last. It will be in vain, much like the French Revolution. How quickly after the French Revolution did it fall into chaos in the Reign of Terror? How quickly after the Communist Revolution did it fall into terror? How quickly after the Communist Revolution in Russia, China, Cuba, did it turn to melee? But what happened after the American Revolution? Prosperity like no nation had ever seen. A growth rate that no nation had ever seen. And yes, we had our stumbles and we had our hiccups. We had our traitors and we had our problems. No nation in the history of the world grew like we did, because we were blessed by God, because we put godly men in power to lead the revolution. I end my discussion tonight with you on George Washington. And if anybody says, oh, he was a mason, he can't do it, isn't it? He had rules in his army that would never stand today, because they are godly rules. If he caught you pillaging, if he caught you stealing, you were executed. If you used foul language, blasphemed, did not go to church on Sunday during peacetime unless there was a battle on, you were flogged. He was a man of God. He prayed before every battle. He was protected by God in his battles leading up to the American Revolution. He reluctantly took the reins of power. He suffered horrible defeat after defeat. Some say it was because he was inept. I say it was because he was set up to fail by cowards in Washington, or actually Philadelphia at the time. That's the difference between what's going to happen next. I don't know if Chuck Baldwin is the guy that we need to lead us. He has no military experience. He's definitely a spiritual leader that we need to be listening to. Are you ready to make that stand? Are you ready to follow through, no matter who the leader is? If a Christian leader is raised up, will you leave your home to go stand on the green? How many of you really will do that? How many of you will grab your 14 or 15-year-old son that you've been training and stand shoulder to shoulder? Do you know that at Lexington, there were three generations of families? There were sons, fathers, and grandfathers. There were men missing legs on that green from previous British incursions against the Indians and the French. There were veterans, there were newbies, there were young boys that were just backwoods boys that knew how to fight. I think there were 140 men. I don't get the number right in my head because I lost it in my brain. When that bell rings, when that rider comes down and said, the feds are coming, the feds are coming, the UN is coming, are you going to run and hide, or are you going to show up at the pre-designated rally point and make a stand? When your leaders, God bless them if they do, make a stand and start to secede, start to enforce the 10th Amendment, start to guarantee your rights to own whatever firearm you want, are you going to back them up when they go, when the federal thugs come for them to arrest them? I say, without a backing of Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to run. Not all atheists are cowards, but they all end up turning to God in the foxhole. I can tell you, I've been in some pretty bad situations in my life. You know what the cowards all start doing? Praying to God, get me out of this. They've never been to church, never cracked open a Bible, but they all know about the higher authority. And they all turn to that. They all drop to their knees. You just get me through this, Lord. They may not pray to Jesus, but they pray to a higher authority as they may not even understand it. It's not going to do any good at that time. I can tell you that. And I've seen good Christian men turn and run too. But the odds are with us if we maintain a Christian resistance to tyranny and obey God. We're going to get through this. We're going to survive this. But the guarantee is we're not going to survive it if we go the route of all these humanist revolutions that we've seen in the last 150 years alone. We need a Cromwell. We need a Jackson. We need good leaders that will stand up and lead us. But are you ready? Have you prepared your heart and your home? Have you really? Have you done everything that you can do? Well, folks, we're winding it up here. Lou's going to start playing music. Actually, we've got about 2 minutes. I can't talk over the great outro of the Our God is an Awesome God. So just get it playing in the background, Lou. Don't switch over to it. Keep my mic open. And hopefully it'll pick up and we'll be able to hear it. I know I get angry, but I'm frustrated. It's not so much angry as it is frustration that this message doesn't get out. But there's only 9 people in the chat room listening to this. There's only 9 people listening to it. You've got to spread the word. That doesn't mean that God can't just use 9 people. God can use 300. God can use 1. God can use none of us and make it happen. But we have to show Him that we're ready. We have to show Him that we're ready to stand up. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Show. Please go to dutchjones.tk. Please check out the website. Please go to the Church at Korea link there. Listen to our downloads. Thank you, Olima, for maintaining those archives. Keep sending me comments. Keep sending me critiques. Send me whatever you want. I want to read it. We need your support. We need your prayers. And support Liberty Tree Radio. We'll be back Monday, and we'll do what we can. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. And remember, the sword is heavy. The battle is hard. Victory belongs to the Lord alone. But He loves you so much, He wants to include you in the victory. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, the song didn't last long enough. We're still on Liberty Tree Radio, and I need to mention, there were only 9 on you broadcast. I know we have way more listeners on Liberty Tree Radio. So thank you so much, Liberty Tree Radio. Thank you, Scotty. I know you've got listeners there. But we are done for the evening. Hopefully Stacy's out. I smell something cooking.
I don't.
I smell something. Yeah, it's just your feet. Is that your feet, Luke? Anyway, we'll be back on Monday. I don't know, just keep praying for us. Pray for Stacy. Let's hope we get some good news on work. Good news on the donations going up. And DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk, send us $2. If that's all you got, we can get things working. We got to get DSL in our house. If we get DSL in our house, we'll be doing this 24 hours a day. Yay! Thanks, everybody. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.